Well, it is Wandering Nature News for the first week of June 2023. It's a hectic one. All the participants had to gather from their different directions, and I've got Michaela Rice, the naturalist from Gooseberry Falls State Park, on the line with me, Leo, from KTWH. Michaela, you're on assignment somewhere, and thank you for joining us from a distance.
Yes, I am getting some official training this week for security ranger training, learning a little bit more of state statute when it comes to Minnesota state parks. So I'm becoming more official as the day continues.
Well, I suppose that means that you'll be certified. Everyone needs to be certified in some way or another for all of the different experiences and skills we acquire. Good luck with that, Michaela. I wanted to check in with you. We've had a quickening of summer-like conditions just since we talked last, where we had a lingering winter and we seem to jump by spring for a bit there. At least this past weekend, we had hot conditions, great sunshine. I'm wondering, we dried our soils out in a hurry. What's the hydrology like on the North Shore? Are the Gooseberry Falls now lower than average for this time of year? What were they like the last time you checked?
Well, they've been continuing to go down. I can tell you, I've been taking pictures of the waterfalls every few weeks since the ice went out. And every time I look at my photos or look at the falls, they are lower. Or what I mean by lower is there's less water that's falling over the falls and coming just in the river in general. So the water is much lower. We haven't really had any precipitation since snow melt.
Right.
Maybe just little drizzles, but really at the park we haven't. My pollinator garden has not even been saturated by Mother Nature yet this summer. So we are pretty dry. I know pretty much the marsh marigolds have all dried up at the park.
Oh,
I haven't
my.
Seen any.
Yeah.
So we don't really have standing water outside of the stream or the river at all. And it's notable with some of the flowers that are blooming and the water level. Obviously, we haven't had too much of an insect boom at the park because we get so much wind from Lake Superior, and I don't think we have a lot of standing water. So luckily, Gooseberry is a great place to come if you don't want the mosquitoes.
Cooler by the lake and drier.
Yep, drier, less flying insects, definitely from what I've noticed compared to all the comments that I've been hearing from folks at other parks or traveling around, especially compared to in the cities. I have been doing wildflower hike, and just on one short trail, we have at least 15 species of flowers that are blooming.
Tremendous.
And I've been seeing some fun bird activity. We have a trumpeter swan that's been feeding on the river, which our park manager doesn't know if we've ever had a swan down there. And I think it's probably a pair, but I can't find the other mate yet. I haven't looked on the river, you know, everywhere yet, but I'm assuming there'd be two of them.
Yeah, can I ask, that would be uncommon for them not to be paired at this time of the year?
Yeah, okay. It would be, especially because this bird is definitely an adult.
Yeah.
So it would be kind of rare. The geese are paired up. We had two goslings that I noticed, and then, of course, the next day I went back down to the same place that the geese and the trumpeter swan, and there was only one gosling, so I'm assuming something happened overnight. I've seen bald eagles fishing for what I think would be trout at the mouth. There's tons of activity, lots of feeding still going on down there. And then one of my other favorite nature sightings this last week at the park was two bohemian waxwings that were courting, I think. They were passing some berries back and forth and looking all cute and romantic up in the tree. So that was really fun to see.
Oh, my. So this is that time of the year for a number of species to have their offsprings born the various ways they are. I know we're coming up on fawning imminently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we're in it. We're definitely in it right now.
Okay. And you had reminded me, I believe, after we spent some of the late winter talking about jakes and other wandering turkeys, is this time for the turkeys to hatch out?
Yes, they've been on their nests for months now. So I know that turkeys are having chicks. I haven't heard about anyone seeing grouse chicks yet, but they've also been nesting for a month. I have heard a few drumming. I think there's always going to be some males that will drum later into the season that haven't bred as often. Maybe they're the less competitive males, so they'll kind of be more on the shoulder of the breeding season, doing some of those courting displays. But yes, those little guys should be out on the ground. I know that foxes, like we had mentioned, are really good at predating young nests. So I know those turkey moms and grouse moms will definitely be very protective for the next few months of their very young, small chicks.
Indeed.
Have you heard any reports from your fox friends?
Our human neighbors are distracted by their own young born this year.
Oh,
so haven't been out
enough.
As much taking photos. They're probably taking photos of their progeny indoors. But
mm-hmm.
but last night was a visit of the Ursa. You'll have to help me with black bears. Ursa americanus. I just made that up.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
a black bear was at our finch feeder last night. And I had to drum on a pot to send it on its way so I could retrieve the newly bought, you know, feeder. Maybe I shouldn't have done that, but I didn't want them thinking it was a good idea to be coming to our property to look what the feast of the day was.
Hazing is good. I support you hazing.
Okay. Well, I tried to do it respectfully and wound up breaking
actually,
a beautiful wooden spoon in the process.
Well, yeah. I think the louder, it's a conundrum. It's ironic because you want to be respectful, but you being the most respectful of that bear and the bear's boundaries would be to be really loud and aggressive and not make it want to come back.
Yes. And
because
I'm,
the more it gets used to getting food
right.
out of a man-made, you know, object, the poorer off that bear is going to be.
This is pretty important stuff to consider, Michaela, because we had a woman who was scratched up very badly in Nisswa, Minnesota, just a week or so ago, and one of the few bear
mm-hmm.
attacks in the last 30 years, but it's documented, and don't know what happened there, but my spouse was concerned for me, but I said, well, I have to be big and imposing and bang that drum hard, and that's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would presume that bear interaction had some food involved, and that bear was just being a bear.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Don't come between a bear's mouth and its food. I get the point.
Right.
Well, nice to know that there are that many flowers out, and most of these must have been the spring ephemerals still that you were seeing, even though summer
actually not.
Is switching.
No.
Oh, okay.
I think they're kind of, I mean, I don't know if like Virginia bluebells, maybe they're considered a spring ephemeral. Our bloodroot is already gone. Some of the flowers that I was noticing, like the golden Alexanders are already blooming. That's a summer
That is.
Flower, the
yep.
the ginseng that we have.
Okay.
The anemones.
Yeah, so we've moved right along in the phenology calendar.
Yeah, we have.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is what it is.
And, then,
and of course, fire danger
yeah.
may not be as big a player mm-hmm. at Gooseberry, but it certainly is looking a little tense,
mm-hmm.
getting tenser by the week in the boundary waters. And I'll be looking
yeah.
for the DNR's word on burning bans, fire bans. So I don't know if you have any word on that.
No, I know that it's been variable. We were still allowing fires at Gooseberry the last time I checked last week. But one thing I have been talking to some of my coworkers about is this air quality issue that, you know, I've been working outdoors now for about 10 years. I'm not that old yet. I am turning 30 this summer, but
congratulations.
I feel like at the past few years, thank you, this fire, this air quality, you know, is becoming more of a concern now even earlier in the season. It's already June, and I feel like that's kind of early for us Minnesotans to be influenced by some of this air quality stuff. Typically, it was more around allergy season, and now it really feels like we're susceptible to air quality at any point in the summer, or, you know, even in the fall and the spring. And it's coming from Canada or west, or it just seems to be creeping closer. And I know we talk about climate change a lot as it pertains to everything, but it's just been a little heavier on my mind this last week with some of the haze that I've been witnessing on my drive home or just at the park or in Duluth in general.
I think it weighs heavy on all of us that spend any time thinking about it. We may just say to ourselves, we may forget that these fires continue to burn, and now they're burning on both
mm-hmm.
both to the east and the west of us. And that means that whether we have high or low counterclockwise or clockwise rotating fronts, that we're going to get some of it. And I am going to check in with a gentleman I met from the MPCA a few years ago when we had very serious forest fire haze that was considerably, I mean, we have some seriously close to unhealthy conditions out of several northern stations, including out of Duluth. I'm going to keep my eye on that and try to get more information for listeners, but I'm not sure how quickly this is going to dissipate. I think there was an advisory expiring Tuesday evening, and we're talking on Tuesday afternoon. So I'm hopeful that maybe there's a better weather front to at least keep the smoke away from us, but it's going to be somewhere, and that's the dilemma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the smoke's going to come back at some point throughout the summer. I don't think it's going to be the last time we're having this conversation.
And
maybe it's something we will revisit.
Right. And of course, that is without any contribution from fires burning nearby in Minnesota or just to the north of us in Quetico, which we had just a couple of years ago, very serious fires just to the north of our border. And those particulate molecules don't care what the international boundary says, whether it's U.S. or Canada. It'll be our problem as well. So I hope we don't see that again this year.
No, I think fire prevention is something I will be kind of digging into. It's opening thoughts about this forest regeneration that we have recently discussed, this fuel on the ground, especially from the spruce budworm and a lot of our conifers, and then even our birches. So this will be a topic that I think we should talk about more in depth.
Great. I want to give you the opportunity to swing people towards any of the activities that might be imminent in June, this first or second week. Michaela, do you have any?
So our wonderful Jackie Fallon is going to come back with her two beautiful birds on the 10th. So she will be at the Visitor Center from 3 to 5 with Rhyolite, her peregrine falcon, and Juliet, her American kestrel.
Wonderful.
So please come by and see us that day. And my intern and I, Zach, will be outside talking about loons and recreation. That morning we'll be having a big nature cart set up with some demonstrations and about loons and how they actually don't float like most birds, and we'll be talking about tackle and lead and other loon conservation issues and loon biology. So it's going to be a little bit of a loony fest in the morning, late morning, and then we'll have more birds in the afternoon of the raptor variety. So
great.
Please come to Gooseberry on the 10th.
You're connecting the dots there with the loons, the lead-free tackle. And I had a visit with my in-laws this weekend who live a little south of us in Wisconsin. And I just thought I'd run this by you. They talked about the fact that during some of the interesting late winter weather, the loons actually dropped to the ground.
Is that, yes.
And they had to be helped. And were you you were aware of that? I didn't know if we had talked about that.
Yeah, no, it was the icing. It was the ice, the late precipitation that they literally got iced out like airplanes and were having trouble probably staying up in that, you know, area of the sky. And they were dropping, like they said, falling from the sky in Wisconsin. Farmers were finding them in pastures, or maybe they had landed in what kind of looked like a small watershed but were unable to get out because loons need that big open area to get enough momentum to take off because they are so heavy. So it was a very interesting example of these conservation concerns. We wouldn't have predicted that that would have affected loons, but we have these things that come up. And I think that was a storm that was, we're having these infrequent kind of chaotic storms that are coming at different times of the year. And boom, there's an example of a critter that was challenged by
indeed
and it just inclement weather.
It was just striking because the loons are facing so many other both habitat and contaminant issues, and I thought,
Absolutely. Okay,
what's the next shoe to drop? Well, actually it was the loons dropping due to their inability to stay aloft, and I guess people had to come to their aid, and I'm grateful that we did. Well, that tale will be telling for a while, and hopefully have positive loon stories from your interactions with the park visitors to talk about as well, Michaela, next time maybe on Wandering Nature News.
Yes, we will pick it up and talk about some other critter adventures at that time. So I will talk to you then, Leo. Thanks for having me on the air.
Great. Safe travels to you, and we'll see you back in person soon.
Sounds great.
Bye now. This is Michaela Rice, who is the naturalist at Gooseberry Falls State Park, talking to us from the field about all things plant, animal, and beyond human concerns with such things. This is Leo for KTWH.